This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
And she could hear the highway breathing. And she could see a nearby factory. She's making sure she is not dreaming.
I'm KMOX. Happy Friday. Never more, thank God it's Friday, than this Friday. If Andrew weren't out, I would have taken the day off. I would have just taken a mulligan. I was trying to sleep in the office. And
just now?
Just now.
Wow.
And Steve came in and was like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not. I am not okay.
You're running on E.
Fumes, brother.
Yeah.
My dad, his nickname at work was Sheer Guts, because they'd say, Jack, how you doing? He's like, I'm working on Sheer Guts.
Yeah.
Sheer Guts. I should get that tattoo. On my stomach.
It's perfect. Right on the guts.
Right on the guts. Someday when I'm in a nursing home, they're like, what do you think that means?
Yeah, just do it in smaller letters, though, because it's going to be really painful if it's big, right?
Yeah, it would hurt.
Wouldn't that be a painful spot?
Oh, yeah.
What do you want people to say about you when you've retired? Well, that Dave Glover, he came in no matter what.
Sheer guts.
He's sheer guts.
Sheer guts.
Came in and did that show.
Second generation.
Talking about farts.
I know what they'll say.
For 4 hours.
For 4 hours.
Anyone can just talk about farts. We discussed that.
We went in depth.
This is not real life, you know? Mm-hmm. This job that we do?
No. No.
We've talked about this before. It's a great job. Never complain about having it. But there are just times where you don't want to be here.
No. I'm really tired. I have great reasons to be really tired. But when my mom had her surgery, the surgeon had already done 3 surgeries that day. And then was doing hers. And he came in and he was completely professional and, you know, and I'm like, that's more tired.
Yeah, that guy's
got
to be
exhausted.
Right.
That's more tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did he have to be hilarious?
No. No, he did not, Amy. He probably didn't discuss farts at all.
Oh. He's missing out.
thank you and congratulations. Thank you to my friend Chef Liz at Tenacious Eats. Made us a beautiful cherry pie. Did we post that yet, Rach?
We did. It's up on Facebook.
That is like if you were to make a painting of a cherry pie, that's what it looks like.
I'm going to take a picture of that and post it as well because it's so beautiful.
Well, you need to bust in after you take that picture. So yeah, thank you, Liz. It's so sweet of you. And congratulations to Amy. You won the 5K, right?
Thank you. Yes.
Oh.
The Biz Dash 5K. You know, I was thinking they have a real tape. When you win, and not all 5Ks do, but this is a big 5K, so it's pretty official. I think that was my first time breaking the tape in St. Louis.
That's so cool.
So I'm not gonna lie, I was like pretty excited.
Well, yeah,
sure.
I was smiling, and it was a lot of fun.
You always tell us that you stink at 5Ks, and I've always said, no, you'll kill everybody if you run them, because you run way more than that.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Good job.
They had 7,300 runners, they said, for the Biz Dash. So St. Louis was hopping, and then Nearinx Hall had its graduation at Stiefel at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was such a fun atmosphere, a really fun course. You know, it's challenging at St. Louis.
So I've never ran a 5K. What's the strategy for a marathon or running a 5K? Is it a sprint?
It feels like a sprint, yeah. And so this was kind of, honestly, for me, it was learning how to hurt like this.
Yeah.
Because like the long haul hurt of a marathon or a half marathon, I can do. But the only way to get faster in the half and full is
Makes
to
sense.
Learn how to hurt in a 5K. Yeah, so my strategy was, like, don't go out too fast, but then be smart on the hills. And I was actually... At any rate, it turned into a race because I actually thought I was alone up until like 1.6, 1.7. There was that hill and there was a girl next to me and I didn't know she was right there and something clicked and I was like, okay, I got to find this next gear on this hill. I have to find it because I was actually starting to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Your first reaction is to slow down. So that was like good practice for racing. It was fun.
So is this the kind of thing you're in, like you start at the front since you're an established runner?
Yeah, and some races are really, like, you have to qualify in your bib. They'll only let you in. With a 5K like this, people, it's kind of the honor system. You know, don't start in the front unless you want to get trampled.
Right.
So with this one, like, you're right on the line. And everyone's behind you. So I do that. Yeah. And most marathons and halves, which is fun and kind of exciting to be at the front of the line. And then you see the overhead visual because they have like the St. Louis aerial shots. You think, wow, what a cool race.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there ever drama? Like, what the hell are you doing in the fives? What, you should be in the eights or something like that.
No. So, okay. I think because there were some people, I think maybe were excited and thought, since we're walking, it will take us longer, so we should be in the front. So there was a guy next to me. So I know this guy, Tom. He runs in Forest Park. To put in perspective, he ran the race in 14:47, which is a 4:45 pace.
Fast.
It's fast. So Tom and I were standing next to each other and a couple other guys that looked fast. And there was definitely a really sweet group of older ladies in pants and walking shoes, like, next to us. And I remember thinking...
No tops?
The reverse Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
That's hot. I'm going to have to do the biz dash next year.
So there were some walkers mixed in, ladies, which you wouldn't get in other races, like maybe half and full where it's a little bit stricter. But yeah, you can get trampled. Because I will say in Houston's a really, really competitive half marathon and full. And it's the most exciting to be like in that elite front field. But the thing is, if you fall, you will get trampled. Like it's bad. So I will say the most, I don't want to say scared because that sounds dramatic, but just it's so you're tightly packed in. Like your arms are down and you're like sardines. Yeah. And then everyone's going out at 5 minute pace.
Yeah.
That's a little intense for me. Yeah.
You ever get, you have sharp elbows?
You have to have sharp
you
elbows.
You ever use them?
Yeah. I got elbowed like pretty hard one time at actually the grandma's marathon of all places because we had space and this guy just like elbowed me and the guy I was running with started yelling back. Yeah. So every now and then that'll happen. But yeah, sharp elbows helps.
Cool. Guess what Kevin and I get to do Monday?
What do we get to? Oh, yeah. Way more fun than running.
Yeah. We get to go take batting
practice.
We're
taking BP at Busch Stadium,
what?
Baby.
Yeah.
It's been a big four or five days, man.
Why do you get to do that?
I don't know.
We entered a contest through Cereal Box.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Toasties.
No, just got invited to do it. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I haven't swung a bat in 25 years.
I'm curious to see how far I have fallen.
Me too.
It wasn't that long ago I could reach the seats in BP. I don't think I'm going to come close.
Maybe you can throw it.
I can't throw it that far anymore without hurting myself.
No. To throw the
I can throw BP. I can do that. Yeah.
I didn't think you could throw it into the stands.
Yeah. Well, not now.
Hey, guys, watch this.
20 years ago, yes. Not now.
From where?
From home plate.
Get out.
Yes.
Like a home run.
Yes, we used to play long toss. You throw 300, 320 feet.
That's crazy.
He's lying.
No, I'm not.
This didn't happen.
It's okay.
Wearing a shirt? No shirt.
What's that?
Like the ladies running?
Oh, without the shirt, it was
pants
into the...
and walkers?
Without the shirt, it would be like into Big Mac land. No. Not real. That's not real. I can tell you this. My teammate, who was way better than me, who wound up winning 4 gold gloves in the big leagues, he could throw from home plate over the scoreboard in left center field.
That's not
at our field.
Oh, at your field? Oh, like
in college. No, okay, no, it's 360 to left center field. He threw it over the scoreboard at 360.
What would have happened? You threw the first pitch out at KMOX delay at the ballpark.
You threw the first pitch.
What if you had done that without a shirt?
Well, everybody around would have been blinded by the reflection from the lights. So that wouldn't have been good. Nobody would have seen it. All the videos you've seen, they would have been just completely blurred out. Because the light would be reflecting off of me. I'm pale.
We got some good pics of you.
It worked out all right, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. The videos were cool. Fred Bird was awesome. It's my guy.
See, what you have going for you that I did not is you don't think.
How?
No.
Not about that, but not about most things, let's be honest.
You just do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so jealous of that.
Yeah.
You just do.
For that thing, though, I should be able to.
Yeah.
The proverbial riding a bike. I mean, I've thrown millions of throws in my life.
Yeah. I have too. And I practiced for 2 weeks. And then when I got on the mound, everything changed.
Mm.
It got real serious real fast. Hmm. Like, I don't think I've ever been that nervous.
I probably would be if I was doing something less comfortable for me.
Right.
Right? Like put me out on a football
like
field
emotion.
In front of all those people
if
and
you had to throw out the
try
first
to kick
emotion.
A field goal. Well, I mean, it would be anger. It would be anger. That's my good one.
But you can't go to that.
That's my best pitch.
First emotion.
Kevin Wheeler to show sympathy.
I'll be like,
looks like he's freezing up.
I'll be like one of the aliens trying to be human.
Yes.
I just saw this.
Or like an AI trying to tell a joke.
There's an old SNL sketch from, not that old, like 3 years, and it was a commercial for a product called 5-Hour Empathy. And
you'd
understand other people's problems for 5 hours, which is really funny.
Get a whole box of those.
It's a real question. And I'm not saying you're a sociopath. I'm just asking the questions. Have you ever found yourself sort of faking an emotion? Like, this would be a good time to look like I'm concerned.
No.
You're sure?
I'm convinced that I feel the same things as other people. I just don't display them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Does that make sense?
I mean, the words make sense.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel sick when something terrible happens, but I don't have the outward...
You don't wear it on your sleeve.
Right.
Now, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't wear sleeves.
Yeah, I mean, should I roll them up?
Actually, I think that'd be a great look for you.
What, the rolled up sleeves?
Yeah.
We used to do that in high school. It was a thing.
No, not even that. Just no sleeves.
Like, oh,
tank tops.
Sleeveless?
Yeah, tank tops.
Not doing that unless I start lifting again. It's pretty bad looking.
Tank tops or the sweatshirt with the cut off arms?
Whatever.
Dude, when I was doing my weightlifting back in college, I had the Gold's Gym sweatshirt cut off at the elbows.
Oh, yeah.
Big giant neck with the tank top underneath it.
Yep.
Oh, what a. I was.
But I mean, let's be honest though. When you're putting in that much work, you get to show a little bit what you want to show.
I mean, I was redonkulous. And it was at SIU in the gym, packed, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm doing arms, and then I would flex, and I was looking in the mirror, and I started flexing. Then I started seeing, sparkles in front of my eyes. And the next thing I know, someone's picking me up. They're like, are you okay? Are you okay? Dude, you totally passed out.
Yeah.
And I go, no, I didn't.
You passed out from flexing?
I passed out from flexing.
Because the blood rushed out of your head.
This is what I do for a living. I admit to these things. I passed out from flexing. Talk about immediate karma. God just took his pinky fingers.
He's
like, not today,
he's
Glover.
Like, take it easy, buddy.
Incredible.
Why don't you take a little nap?
And she was taking off her dress. And she was moving very slowly.
DGS, how's the pie, Aim?
It's so good.
Good.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Chef Liz.
Thank you.
So I was getting ready to head in today and got notice, hey, don't take the 14th Street exit because which is where Wheeler and I go, because there's been a double shooting. Turns out it was an officer-involved shooting. Some guy shot another guy. The cop saw it. He, introduced himself into the situation, shot the shooter, killed him. And you can literally see where the shooting happened from our office window.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean... A decent 9-iron will get you there to where that happened. Here's what I don't understand. And when I say I don't understand, I don't mean you guys are stupid. I mean, help me understand. Take your biggest gun person. You can still get shot, or your kids can still get shot. You can get shot at 10 in the morning on Market Street in St. Louis.
Next to City Hall.
Going down to pay a bill or to do whatever you're going to do or just walking around the city. What a lovely
time
to walk
around
the city.
Could be going to a Blues game.
Absolutely. So I think all reasonable, rational people agree that we should keep guns out of the hands of people who don't deserve to have guns. It's the misuse of guns. You know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Well, they do it together. And it's the misuse of guns by people who are using them for the wrong reasons, like this guy did today. How do you do that? How can you walk that line? Or are we walking that line? But if I were a gun person... And I know it's probably a 1 in a million shot that someone I care about or myself is going to be shot on Market Street. But, it could absolutely happen. Rach and I almost got shot our first week here when the person got shot at Planet Sub we were walking over there right when it happened, and there were bullet holes in the windows right where we were. I would give something up if I'm a gun person. I would give something up to be a little safer and to make everyone a little safer. And I'm just wondering, what do you guys think that could be reasonably? What could we do?
Well, I mean, it, just practically, red flag laws, they're very, very helpful, even in the reddest of states like Florida and Arizona that have enacted red flag laws, that if someone is showing erratic, unstable behavior and the closest people around that person are reporting them, it's a very, very high burden of proof, as it should be. But yeah, that person shouldn't have a gun. And that would be such a simple thing, and it should be bipartisan.
Well, I think even stuff like that actually is the more people, even if they are gun owners, are in favor of sensible background checks, laws like red flag laws. It's not just people who are anti-gun. I think it's everybody, even gun owners, feel that way. But you've got a strong pro-gun lobby that pays politicians to argue the other way and vote the other way. And that's why we have the situation we've got.
Yeah. You can't erase it. I mean, I think we all know that, right? There's just no way to erase it because we don't know, for example, now, how did the shooter today get his gun?
Right.
I'm going to guess he didn't buy it at Dick's Sporting Goods or Walmart or whatever. I'm going to guess that it was acquired illegally, which is the counterpoint from the gun lobby. But the point that I would make in return to that is, fine, that'll slip through. Let's make sure other ones can't. Let's do what we can. Because just like with the arguments that we get into are silly, because if you put it into a context of driving a car and traffic laws, we have speeding laws. We have stoplights. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean everybody obeys them. It doesn't. I mean, we're in downtown St. Louis. We know people don't obey the streetlights here. Does that mean we should get rid of streetlights? Well, of course not. We do. You do what you can. And then if there's more beyond that, you have to solve a different problem, which is the other one that keeps getting brought up, the mental health issue. But nobody ever does anything about that either.
And I mean, they keep track when you buy a suit, when you buy a box of Sudafed, and then you have to buy another box of Sudafed. They'll keep track. You can't keep buying it. When we're selling guns, ammunition, and you can buy however much you want all at once, that in and of itself, no reasonable law-abiding gun owner is like, I need within 24 hours hundreds and hundreds of rounds and these so many assault style weapons all at once within 24 hours. That's unreasonable. We wait for everything else. We have to wait for medicine. So even slowing down the process, and you may think, well, eventually they'll get guns. Some people will, sure. But when it comes to gun laws, even a small inconvenience can be as effective to some people as an impenetrable barrier.
So one of my, I don't know if it's more of a question or an argument, but a counter to, well, you can't stop a criminal who's going to get a gun anyway. At some point, an illegal gun was legal somewhere, which means a person bought it to sell on the streets, bought it legally to sell on the streets, mm-hmm. got past some sort of loophole, straw purchase, whatever it is. Well, then maybe we should make laws that if you lose track of your weapon or you don't have it locked up properly, you don't have it in a safe, you don't have it somewhere where somebody can't get to it, then maybe you should be liable for losing that weapon.
I can speak to that. I had a gun stolen out of my locked glove compartment here at work, middle of the day. And I called the cops, and I was really afraid. I was afraid that was a crime in and of itself. And I was just like hyperventilating, you know, and I'm like, what about this? What about this? And I said, well, I'm just really worried that the person's going to commit a crime with this gun, and I'm going to be, you know, to blame, or I'm going to be in some way, you know, culpable. And the person I was talking to at the police department, this lady, literally laughed and was like, "That you are adorable." She's like, this happens so many times every single day. If you want to give me a description of the gun and we find it, we can call you and tell you we have your gun and you can come get it. Other than that, put it out of your mind.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. That crazy.
So is that an unreasonable thought?
I think it's a very reasonable thought.
Dave would have been liable? Because that's kind of like, if it's locked up, he should
Well, maybe
be
it shouldn't
liable.
Be in a glove compartment of a car. You know what I mean? Like something that's easily accessible. And I think it's a fair question, because if it's, well, criminals are out there breaking into houses, breaking into cars, and stealing guns, well, then maybe we shouldn't have...
It taught me my lesson. I haven't had one in my car since.
But before I did that, I would even say, like, let's make sure you're registering your gun. Again, you're keeping... if they can track how much you buy Sudafed, it should be okay for them to track, okay, who's buying a gun.
No question.
Register it.
You make the sunshine brighter than Doris Day.
KMOX. So take a look at my screenshot. That is an actual photo of one single neuron in the brain.
Oh, wow.
The big, thick, white thing is the neuron, and then all the other things are what surround it and feed it with information.
Mm.
And this is like on the nano scale, but they have it in this much detail. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Just nuts? That we can do that?
What's more bizarre? Because those things are always, they blow my mind. Like that we can see that. Like in real time, and we can also see 8 billion light years away,
right,
in space. Like that's
and whatever long ago it was that George Washington died, they bled him to death because they were releasing the evil spirits and such. Like it's been that just that recent that now we can do all this stuff. Just crazy.
My brain can't process it. It's like saying nonsense words like doobity dee. I'm like okay, like I can't.
Skibbity toilet.
I can't wrap my brain around it.
I get it. Let's talk some Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
I mean, after last night, I wrote
you ready to open a can?
Let's talk some Cardinals. Take it away.
I mean, so Cardinals fans are on the they're almost all gone. Like they're on the edge. They're ready to jump. They're ready to just quit. And by that, I mean the diehards. Obviously, people that are more casual by
they're
definition.
Like, darn.
Right. I mean, maybe more than that. But the point is, I can't go anywhere and not have somebody ask me about what's going on, what's wrong, what's the problem, why is it like this, who should they fire, who should they trade. Last night, you had Sonny Gray starting. He gets rocked. But in part, he gets rocked because Nolan Arenado made a defensive mistake. Instead of turning a traditional double play, try to tag a runner, miss the tag, threw the guy out, next guy hits a three-run homer. Inning would have been over if he goes the traditional route and it gets completed. And he owned it. I give him credit. He's like, after the game, yep, I know I need I this is, he said it's on him and it's not all on him, but you know, he had that and
good
then
for
he,
him, though.
And then he was up, bases loaded, one out, and he popped
out
foul,
yeah.
Right. So he was a part of the two big swings in the game, but it's not on one guy. It's on the entire team because they still only scored one run. I mean, you had bases loaded, nobody out, your number 2, 3, and 4 hitters up, and not one guy advanced. Soft ground ball to third, force out at home, pop out, and then mild fly out by Burleson. And I don't know that there's an answer. You can fire whoever you want. I don't care at this point. I don't even argue against whoever people want to fire. It doesn't change anything. You can't change 10, 12 guys not hitting. You can't. I mean, you can change the guy that's making up the game plan, and they sure look like they're lost when it comes to a game plan. Because we have what? How would you look at this, Ron? It's like, there's like three ways that you can look at an offense this bad top to bottom. You got the randomness. You could say, well, every guy's got his own problem and they're not really connected, which seems highly unlikely to me. That's a lot to think that 11 guys would all have a mechanical thing or a mental thing or a physical thing. It doesn't feel right when I say that. Is it the game planning? Do they have a poor game plan? It sure looks like it because they're taking fastballs down the middle. They're swinging and missing at pitches off the plate. They look lost and confused all the time. Or is the other thing, and I don't think it's this one because I've seen these guys do this differently. You could have a group of players that just don't work. They don't, you know, they're not practicing. But I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. If it was that, I think we'd hear it. Like I would hear that through the grapevine.
It sounds like number one is the most likely. They're all just having their own problems for their own reasons.
Yeah, I would argue it's most likely a combo of one and two.
Or is it possible that maybe we just overvalued how good the lineup was when the roster was put together?
Well, I mean, because these same guys last year were good, though.
Right, but they're also getting older.
But most of them were also, but not Nolan Gorman, not Newt Barr.
Well, Goldschmidt is, and he's your big guy.
Yeah.
He's your number one, supposed to be, your most productive player, and he's not.
Oh, there's no question.
He's so far away from that. Maybe we have not accounted for the fact that he's just getting older.
Oh, for him, for sure.
And maybe he'll never be the same anymore.
Sure, one guy.
But that's a huge part of your lineup.
And
if he's not doing anything, oof.
Well, I mean, but that doesn't affect the guys that are six spots below him in the order.
Well, maybe they're not that good.
But they have been. That's the point. Like, Brendan Donovan has over 200 major league games of being a 380 on base guy. Like, Lars Nootbaar has almost 300 major league games of being 20% above league average. Like, these are guys that are not rookies. It's one thing if we're talking about, like, Walker or Wynn, and Wynn's been fine. He's been competitive, you know, and he's been great defensively.
But just because a guy was good for a year and a half, does that mean they're good?
Two plus. Well, I mean, what else do you go by?
Well, sometimes guys get off to great starts in their career, and then they fall away because they weren't as good as we thought they were.
Right, but you have to build on something. You have to count on people that have shown you over multiple years that they are competent major league hitters. You can't build on you can't go sign 8 guys that have made all-star teams, and you can't, you know, I mean, like,
right.
You have to be able to count on some form of sample size, and I'd say 200-plus games is a pretty good sample size.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is, I don't think that just because a guy's gotten through a year or two of his career, and he's been pretty good offensively, we just say, well, that's who he is. He's just, we know he's this kind of offensive player,
right.
because it just isn't true all the time.
That would be a great argument if they weren't this much worse. It's not even close. They're not 10% or 20% below their norms. They're 50, 60% below their norms.
See, that causes me, and I understand what you're saying about the coaches never take the field. The coaches never play.
Right, right.
But when it is so systemic for the second year in a row, at least I think you have to park it at the feet of the front office and the coach, the managers, and say, what's going on? Because at that point, it would be like if our radio station, everyone just started sucking. You would eventually make it to Steve and say, what's going on here? I mean, Ron's used to be great. Now he's sucking. Dave used to be great. Now he's not good at all. At some point, you have to go upstairs.
Yeah, no. I think that's always been my point, is that the entire vision for this team, for the way the Cardinals do business, starts at the very top. So anything that's happening below that is because of the way that it's being run at the very top. And that starts with the owner, but the owner and John Mozeliak are really tied at the hip. I mean, they've been together running this organization together for 20 plus years. So, well, and Mo, but going even more than that, actually, if you count the time that Mo was before he was in charge of baseball ops. But for baseball ops, it's been 17 years. So it always has to start at the top. And that then the question becomes, what are any changes that you would make? Are they just surface changes that won't really change anything? Because, for example, just as an example, if you fire Ollie Marmol, you're not bringing in a proven manager in the middle of a season. They're not taking the job. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. So you're going to get an interim guy who is already on the staff, who's probably already been in the organization for the last 10 years or something close to that.
Kind of like what happened with the Blues.
And that's kind of the point, is it not much is going to change by doing that. And hockey is a little different in the sense that matching lines and when you make line changes and how you structure a power play, those are all things a coach can really impact. The coach can't really impact the guy standing in the box facing a pitcher. You can give him a plan. You can give him an idea, but it's one guy against one guy. Yeah. And the changes on that aren't typically that significant. But I think what we can say definitively, and I think the Cardinals agree with this, and I think they've even said something like this at some point, if this year keeps going this way, like, for example, if they get swept in this series, they will be exactly where they were last year after 40 games.
Which we were talking about 6 weeks ago.
Yes. Like, if you lose these next three games, you will be exactly where you were last year at this time, through 40 games. If you have another year going that way, the bigger changes have to happen. The philosophical changes. How do we scout and evaluate players? How do we put together game plans? How do we use analytics? How do we, like, all of that's got to come in. And that means new voices from outside.
So you have said many times that you felt that the Cardinals, and please correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but the Cardinals kind of rested on their laurels and all their success, and they didn't keep up with the, you know, missing bats and things like that. Who among our staff would be like an example of that? Are there any players you'd say, this guy probably really shouldn't be even on the club?
No, you know what? I don't think it's about that part. I think the problem is, and I wouldn't even call it complacency. I would call it, maybe complacency is it. You'll see this in sports from time to time, where if you've had success doing things a certain way, you have a very hard time moving
off
of that.
Almost a superstition.
But the way the Cardinals always have done things is different than the way the game is being run now. The way players are trained to throw harder, to, you know, tailor their pitches for swing and miss and all of that, is different than what the Cardinals have always had success with. So when you ask the question, for, you know, just like a simple one, right? What are the Cardinals known for over the last 20 years? They've been really known for always having pitchers that they develop from within that impact the major league roster, right? From Michael Wacha to Carlos Martinez to Jack Flaherty. You go back even further, Lance Lynn going all the way back. I mean, like, if you go back, they've always had those guys popping in, right? Even the 06 World Series team was Anthony Reyes, you know, a guy, homegrown guys that pop in and out. The last starting pitcher that they developed that has stuck around the major leagues as a starter and been even remotely productive was Jack Flaherty.
Well, and he's good now.
He already hit free agency. Yeah. That was 6 years ago. So the last time you developed a starting pitcher that could stick in the major leagues for you or for anyone else.
And you're touching on something that is exacerbating the problem, is that now in the last 5 years, they've got a number of players who have left here and gone somewhere else and been good. And Flaherty is one of them. Mm-hmm. Zach Gallen, Randy Arozarena, Tyler O'Neill is
Gallen
playing well.
Gallen was when he was like a double-A player, so it wasn't really...
But still, in the organization, but, yeah. No longer in the organization, yeah. And playing well somewhere else. That's indisputable.
Yeah.
How many players have they let go of that are not doing all that well? That's a much lower number than the guys who are. So you put that up against the backdrop, yeah, of them not performing.
I mean, you asked
the
question. That's why I'm talking about talent evaluation, skills. Because if you decided that Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill were the guys you should keep over Randy Arozarena, which they did, well, that didn't work. But then the one guy, like Bader's still Bader. He hasn't changed since he left. He's been the same guy. But then Tyler O'Neill leaves. Now, the problem you have to have is when you're asking all this.
What about Jordan Hicks?
I mean, well, there's an... I mean,
as a starter,
again,
he looks great.
One. And, yeah. And on all of these things... There's three factors you got to consider. Health, right? Is Flaherty healthier now than he was the last couple of years? Maybe. I don't know. I'll tell you this. Detroit does a much better job of unlocking pitchers and getting...
DGS on KMOX. So take a look at my screenshot. That is an actual photo of one single neuron in the brain.
Oh, wow.
The big, thick, white thing is the neuron, and then all the other things are what surround it and feed it with information.
Hmm.
And this is like on the nano scale, but they have it in this much detail. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Just nuts? That we can do that?
What's more bizarre? Because those things are always, they blow my mind. Like, that we can see that, like, in real time, and we can also see 8 billion light years away,
right,
in space. Like, that's...
And whatever long ago it was that George Washington died, they bled him to death because they were releasing the evil spirits and such. Like, it's been that,
yeah,
just that recent that now we can do all this stuff. Just crazy.
My brain can't process it. It's like saying, yeah, nonsense words like doobity-dee. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I can't...
Skibbity-toilet.
I can't wrap my brain around it.
I get it. Let's talk some Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
I mean, after last night, I wrote...
You ready
down,
to
like,
open a can?
Let's talk some Cardinals. Take it away.
I mean, so Cardinals fans are on the they're almost all gone. Like, they're on the edge. They're ready to jump. They're ready to just quit. And by that, I mean the diehards. Obviously, people that are more casual by
they're
definition.
Like, darn.
Right. I mean, maybe more than that. But the point is, I can't go anywhere and not have somebody ask me about what's going on, what's wrong, what's the problem, why is it like this, who should they fire, who should they trade. Last night, you had Sonny Gray starting. He gets rocked. But in part, he gets rocked because Nolan Arenado made a defensive mistake. Instead of turning a traditional double play, try to tag a runner, miss the tag, threw the guy out, next guy hits a three-run homer. Inning would have been over if he goes the traditional route and it gets completed. And he owned it. I give him credit. He's like, after the game, yep, I know I need... he said it's on him, and it's not all on him. But, you know, he had that. And
good
then
for
he,
him, though.
And then he had... He was up, bases loaded, one out, and he popped out foul, yeah. Right? So he was a part of the two big swings in the game. But it's not on one guy. It's on the entire team, because they still only scored one run. I mean, you had bases loaded, nobody out, your number two, three, and four hitters up, and not one guy advanced. Soft ground ball to third, force out at home, pop out, and then mild fly out by Burleson. And I don't know that there's an answer. You can fire whoever you want. I don't care at this point. I don't even argue against whoever people want to fire. It doesn't change anything. You can't change 10, 12 guys not hitting. You can't. I mean, you can change the guy that's making up the game plan, and they sure look like they're lost when it comes to a game plan. Because we have what? How would you look at this, Ron? It's like, there's like three ways that you can look at an offense this bad top to bottom. You got the randomness. You could say, well, every guy's got his own problem and they're not really connected, which seems highly unlikely to me. That's a lot to think that 11 guys would all have a mechanical thing or a mental thing or a physical thing. It doesn't feel right when I say that. Is it the game planning? Do they have a poor game plan? It sure looks like it, because they're taking fastballs down the middle. They're swinging and missing at pitches off the plate. They look lost and confused all the time. Or is the other thing, and I don't think it's this one because I've seen these guys do this differently. You could have a group of players that just don't work. They don't, you know, they're not practicing, but I don't think it's that. Mm-hmm. If it was that, I think we'd hear it. Like, I would hear that through the grapevine.
It sounds like number one is the most likely, that they're all just having their own problems for their own reasons.
Yeah, I would argue it's most likely a combo of one and two.
Or is it possible that maybe we just overvalued how good the lineup was when the roster was put together?
Well, I mean, because these same guys last year were good, though.
Right, but they're also getting older.
But most of them were also, and but one of not them, Nolan Gorman, not
well, Goldschmidt is, and he's your big guy.
Yeah.
He's your number one, supposed to be your most productive player, and he's not.
Well,
he's,
there's no
he's
question.
So far away from that. Maybe we have not accounted for the fact that he's just getting older.
Oh, for him, for sure.
And maybe he'll never be the same anymore.
Sure, one guy.
But that's a huge part of your lineup.
And
if he's not doing anything, oof.
Well, I mean, but that doesn't affect the guys that are six spots below him in the order.
Well, maybe they're not that good.
But they have been. That's the point. Like, Brendan Donovan has over 200 major league games of being a 380 on base guy. Like, Lars Nootbaar has almost 300 major league games of being 20% above league average. Like, these are guys that are not rookies. It's one thing if we're talking about, like, Walker or Wynn, and Wynn's been fine. He's been competitive, you know, defensively.
But just because a guy was good for a year and a half, does that mean they're good?
Two plus. Well, I mean, what else do you go by?
Well, sometimes guys get off to great starts in their career, and then they fall away because they weren't as good as we thought they were.
Right, but you have to build on something. You have to count on people that have shown you over multiple years that they are competent major league hitters. You can't build on
sure.
You can't go sign 8 guys that have made all-star teams, and you can't, you know, I mean, like,
right.
You have to be able to count on some form of sample size, and I'd say 200-plus games is a pretty good sample size.
I agree with you. What I'm saying is, I don't think that just because a guy's gotten through a year or two of his career, and he's been pretty good offensively, we just say, well, that's who he is. He's just, we know he's this kind of offensive player,
right. Well,
because it isn't true all the time.
That would be a great argument if they weren't this much worse. It's not even close. They're not 10% or 20% below their norms. They're 50, 60% below their norms.
See, that causes me, and I understand what you're saying about the coaches never take the field. The coaches never play.
Right, right.
But when it is so systemic for the second year in a row, at least I think you have to park it at the feet of the front office and the coach, the managers, and say, what's going on? How because at that point, it would be like if our radio station, everyone just started sucking. You would eventually make it to Steve and say, what's going on here? I mean, Ron's used to be great. Now he's sucking. Dave used to be great. Now he's not good at all. At some point, you have to go upstairs.
Yeah, no. I think that's always been my point, is that the entire vision for this team, for the way the Cardinals do business, starts at the very top. So anything that's happening below that is because of the way that it's being run at the very top. And that starts with the owner, but the owner and John Mozeliak are really tied at the hip. I mean, they've been together running this organization together for 20 plus years. So, even more than that, actually, if you count the time that Mo was before he was in charge of baseball ops. But for baseball ops, it's been 17 years. So it always has to start at the top. And that then the question becomes, what are any changes that you would make? Are they just surface changes that won't really change anything? Because, for example, just as an example, if you fire Ollie Marmol, you're not bringing in a proven manager in the middle of a season. They're not taking the job. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. So you're going to get an interim guy who is already on the staff, who's probably already been in the organization for the last 10 years or something close to that.
Kind of like what happened with the Blues.
And that's kind of the point, is it not much is going to change by doing that. And hockey is a little different in the sense that matching lines and when you make line changes and how you structure a power play, those are all things a coach can really impact. The coach can't really impact the guy standing in the box facing a pitcher. You can give him a plan. You can give him an idea, but it's one guy against one guy, yeah. And the changes on that aren't typically that significant. But I think what we can say definitively, and I think the Cardinals agree with this, and I think they've even said something like this at some point, if this year keeps going this way, like for example, if they get swept in this series, they will be exactly where they were last year after 40 games.
Which we were talking about 6 weeks ago.
Yes. Like, if you lose these next three games, you will be exactly where you were last year at this time, through 40 games. If you have another year going that way, the bigger changes have to happen. The philosophical changes. How do we scout and evaluate players? How do we put together game plans? How do we use analytics? How do we, like, all of that's got to come in. And that means new voices from outside.
So you have said many times that you felt that the Cardinals, and please correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but the Cardinals kind of rested on their laurels and all their success, and they didn't keep up with the, you know, missing bats and things like that. Who among our staff would be like an example of that? Are there any players you'd say, this guy probably really shouldn't be even on the club?
No, you know what? I don't think it's about that part. I think the problem is, and I wouldn't even call it complacency. I would call it, maybe complacency is it. You'll see this in sports from time to time, where if you've had success doing things a certain way, you have a very hard time moving
off
of that.
Almost a superstition.
But the way the Cardinals always have done things is different than the way the game is being run now. The way players are trained to throw harder, to, you know, tailor their pitches for swing and miss and all of that, is different than what the Cardinals have always had success with. So when you ask the question, for, you know, just like a simple one, right? What are the Cardinals known for over the last 20 years? They've been really known for always having pitchers that they develop from within that impact the major league roster, right? From Michael Wacha to Carlos Martinez to Jack Flaherty. You go back even further, Lance Lynn going all the way back. I mean, like, if you go back, they've always had those guys popping in, right? Even the 06 World Series team was Anthony Reyes, you know, a guy, homegrown guys that pop in and out. The last starting pitcher that they developed that has stuck around the major leagues as a starter and been even remotely productive was Jack Flaherty.
Well, and he's good now.
He already hit free agency. Yeah. That was 6 years ago. So the last time you developed a starting pitcher that could stick in the major leagues for you or for anyone else.
And you're touching on something that is exacerbating the problem, is that now in the last 5 years, they've got a number of players who have left here and gone somewhere else and been good. And Flaherty is one of them. Mm-hmm. Zach Gallen, Randy Arozarena, Tyler O'Neill is
Gallen
playing well.
Gallen was when he was like a double-A player, so it wasn't really...
But still, in the organization, but, yeah. No longer in the organization, yeah. And playing well somewhere else. That's indisputable.
Yeah.
How many players have they let go of that are not doing all that well? That's a much lower number than the guys who are. So you put that up against the backdrop, yeah, of them not performing.
I mean, you asked the question. That's why I'm talking about talent evaluation, skills. Because if you decided that Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill were the guys you should keep over Randy or Rosarena, which they did, well, that didn't work. But then as soon, well, and the one guy, like Bader's still Bader. He hasn't changed since he left. He's been the same guy. But then Tyler O'Neill leaves. Now, the problem we have to have is when you're asking all this.
What about Jordan Hicks?
I mean, well, there's an, I mean,
as a starter,
again,
he another looks
great. And, yeah. And on all of these things, there's three factors you got to consider. Health, right? Is Flaherty healthier now than he was the last couple years? Maybe. I don't know. I'll tell you this. Detroit does a much better job of unlocking pitchers and getting more out of them than the Cardinals do. They just do. I mean, you look at all of the guys that they have in their rotation right now. 2 years ago, they were all throwing 2-3 miles an hour slower than they do right now. And they've got the same thing in the bullpen. Guys that were not that special that have gained ground. It's like Tampa. It's like the Dodgers. It's like the Cleveland Guardians. There are teams that do this, and the Cardinals don't do that. And now when you look at it, who in the rotation is homegrown? That you could argue Lynn, but he left. He had to come back as a free agent. Every one of them is a free agent. Every one of them they had to go pay to get because they didn't develop guys that could do that job.
It's good analysis.
And in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Who's homegrown? Ryan Helsley. Gallegos was traded for, right? Romero was picked up, I think, off waivers from the Phillies, and it turned out to be a great move. But he's not a Cardinals prospect guy. Go through all the Kittredge is a free agent signing. So right now you have one guy on your pitching staff, and the pitching staff's not even the problem. But when you have to go and spend all of your attention fixing that, you're not spending the attention on the other side of the ball that you could.
DGS. One more baseball question. Why does the crowd always boo when you throw to first base?
Because you're not doing action. They want you to throw a damn pitch. Quit screwing around. You're not going to throw them out anyway.
I think there's a lot of it. I also have another question to go with that. Why do they always scream balk when the guy's not balking? And mostly that's because people don't know what a balk is.
Oh, no one.
Also, why do we cheer and get crazy when there's a shallow fly ball to center field? It's like for a lot of people, as soon as the ball goes up, they're like, oh! Like, it's not going anywhere.
Is that a can of corn?
That's a can of corn, yes.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think people like that.
They like corn?
That,
Amy,
went away I wasn't expecting. Amy's had too much pie.
Yeah.
Doesn't contribute for 25 minutes, says that.
That's good.
She's been working
that's
on
what
that.
She's great.
No, I just...
She's like, come on, Dave, go back to baseball.
Say something about corn.
I know what this is. I'm like, that's a can of corn. That's a baseball thing.
It really
you
is.
You have to
it
know
is.
Baseball to know that that's a can of corn.
Do you know where
corn.
It came from?
Yes, I do. It's because it took so long to come down, you could eat a can of corn. No, I don't know where it came from.
I would have bought it.
They used to keep the cans of corn on the top shelf.
Yeah.
And they would take
right.
a little stick and knock them off,
yep.
and it'd be easy
right.
to catch.
Yeah. Look at
yeah.
that.
Yep.
What about
the old general store thing?
That's right.
Which is the worst earworm on television right now? Is it Jardians? It's a dumb little pill with a big story to tell.
Oh,
or is it
gosh.
Rally House?
It's Rally
oh,
House.
Yeah. Oh my
by
God.
The way, that one's also better.
Actually, I think it's California Psychics.
Yeah, that one's good, too.
That's a good earworm.
People are writing some jams, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Rally House one's a happy song.
What's the Rally House?
I feel like I want to buy a hat.
No, but the lyrics, because I go, it's your rally, it's your house, it's your rally house. But it's
something about spirit.
It's not?
The word spirit's in it.
Is it?
I think.
I thought it was, it's your city, it's your house.
Oh.
You might be right.
Which was a little bit like the Brian Regan bit about, I'm the map, I'm the map.
Yeah, that's Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
Hey, all I know is it works, because when I hear it, I'm like, I'm thinking about, oh, I want to get a hat, or a jersey or something. Like, it just puts that thought in my head.
I like Rally House.
I do, too.
It's fun to go in there, look at all the
but
stuff.
But I love all that, that's what I mean, I love all that stuff.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff.
Can you go in a place like that, Ranj, and not buy a hat?
He went to the team store and bought two hats at the
That's what I'm saying. Like being a hat guy, that's
There's a
tough.
Bit of a markup at that team store, by the way.
They're making a profit over
I
there?
I mean, I think so.
I bought a hat and I was like, oh my gosh, oh. when did hats get so,
so it's
expensive?
Either, it's
what
either
for hats?
The hat was, what I bought was $45.
Oh my goodness.
Like
oh,
before tax.
Is it one of the
come
good
on.
Ones?
It's either this hat or a Nissan. I got the hat.
It was awesome. It was like an 80s slash early 90s neon colored.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a cool hat.
Yeah, pretty
like
cool
$45
hat.
Bucks is pretty steep.
And
it's
I talked
really
her into
steep.
It. She yeah. wasn't going to get it.
Oh, nice.
She's like,
Ron.
Do I look stupid? My head look dumb? No, get the hat.
My head look dumb.
How did you talk her in?
I was like, no, you're talking about it right now. You're waiting for
it's the first one you went to.
You're waiting for Mason Jar's approval. It's the first thing you saw and you were attracted to it. Get the damn thing.
And I did. And then he was holding two hats.
I know.
Well, I sold him two hats.
Well, no, I was going to get the one.
But then you were like, should I get this other one? And I said,
Amy's
yes.
Amy's like, yeah.
Can you guys even remember a time before you had each other?
They're finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah, I've sold him two hats. Yeah. 152 DGS. One more baseball question. Why does the crowd always boo when you throw to first base?
Because you're not doing action. They want you to throw a damn pitch. Quit screwing around. You're not going to throw them out anyway.
I think there's a lot of it. I have another question to go with that. Why do they always scream balk when the guy's not balking? And mostly that's because people don't know what a balk is.
Oh, no one.
Also, why do we cheer and get crazy when there's a shallow fly ball to center field? Like, for a lot of people, as soon as the ball goes up, they're like, oh! Like, it's not going anywhere.
Is that a can of corn?
That's a can of corn, yes.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think people like that.
They like corn?
That,
Amy,
went away I wasn't expecting. Amy's had too much pie.
Yeah.
Doesn't contribute for 25 minutes, says that.
That's good.
She's been working
that's
on
what
that.
She's great.
No, I just...
She's like, come on, Dave, go back to baseball.
Say something about corn.
I know what this is. I'm like, that's a can of corn. That's a baseball thing.
It really
you
is.
You have to
it
know
is.
Baseball to know that that's a can
Do you know
of
where
corn?
It came from?
Yes, I do. It's because it took so long to come down, you could eat a can of corn. No, I don't know where it came from.
I would have bought it.
They used to keep the cans of corn on the top shelf.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they would take
right.
a little stick and knock them off, yep. and it'd be well, easy to
right.
catch.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yep. What about the old zombie? General store thing?
That's right.
Which is the worst earworm on television right now? Is it Jardians? It's a dumb little pill with a big story to tell.
Oh,
or is it
gosh.
Rally House?
It's Rally
oh,
House.
Rally House.
Oh, my
and by
God.
By the way, that one's also better.
Actually, I think it's California Psychics.
Yeah, that one's good, too.
That's a good earworm.
People are writing some jams, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Rally House one's a happy song.
What's the Rally House?
I feel like I want to buy a hat.
No, but the lyrics, because I go, it's your rally, it's your house, it's your rally house, but it's not.
Something about spirit.
It's not?
The word spirit's in it.
Is it?
I think.
I thought it was, it's your city, it's your house.
Oh.
You might be right.
Which was a little bit like the Brian Regan bit about, I'm the map, I'm the map.
Yeah, that's Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
Hey, all I know is it works, because when I hear it, I'm like, I'm thinking about, oh, I want to get a hat or a jersey or something. Like, it just puts that thought in my head.
I like Rally House.
I do, too.
It's fun to go in there. Look at all the stuff.
But I love all that. That's what I mean. I love all that stuff.
Yeah. They got a lot of stuff.
Can you go in a place like that, Ranj, and not buy a hat?
He went to the team store and bought two hats at the
That's what I'm saying. Like, being a hat guy, that's
There's
tough.
A bit of a markup at that team store, by the way.
They're making a profit over there?
I mean, I think so.
I bought a hat, and I was like, oh, my gosh, when did hats get
so it's
expensive?
Either,
what are they
either,
for hats?
The hat was, one I bought was $45.
Yeah, $45. Oh, my goodness.
Like,
oh,
before tax.
Is it one of the good
on.
Ones?
It's either this hat or a Nissan. I got the hat.
It was awesome. It was like an 80s slash early 90s neon colored.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
hat.
A cool hat.
Yeah, pretty
like
cool hat.
$45 is pretty steep.
And I talked
really
her into it.
Steep.
She wasn't going to get it.
Oh, nice.
She's like,
Ron.
Do I look stupid? Does my head look dumb? No, get the hat.
Does my head look dumb?
How did you talk her in?
I was like, no, you're talking about it right now. You're waiting for
it's the first one you went to.
You're waiting for Mason Jar's approval. It's the first thing you saw and you were attracted to it. Get the damn thing.
And I did. And then he was holding two hats.
I know.
Well, I sold him two hats.
Well, no, I was going to get the one.
But then you were like, should I get this other one? And I said,
Amy's
yes.
Amy's like, yeah.
Can you guys even remember a time before you had each other?
They're finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah, I've sold him two hats.